For 22 years, the Southside Film Festival has been bringing thought-provoking, heartfelt, and entertaining films, and the filmmakers, from around the country and the world to the heart of Bethlehem's vibrant Southside. Presented by the nonprofit Southside Film Institute, the festival is 100% volunteer-run and passionately dedicated to the art of independent filmmaking and to nurturing and celebrating the filmmakers' community. To date, the Southside Film Festival has welcomed 1,940 films from 47 states and 108 countries to screens across our community right here, with more on the way. The festival kicks off on June 10th this year with its signature opening night party, followed by the traditional procession to the opening night feature at the Cathedral Church of the Nativity, and wrapping up 3 days chock full of film, community, and conversation with a closing night screening and party on June 13th. This is WDIY 88.1, Lehigh Valley's public radio, and you're tuned in to Lehigh Valley Arts Salon. I remain Kate Scuffle, your host, and this evening I'm talking with Jeff Voslovic, owner and operator of Deja Brew Coffee House and Deli in South Bethlehem, but perhaps more importantly, board president of the Southside Film Festival. So thank you, Jeff. I didn't really mean to say it was more important than
I'm not sure. I was just thinking that. I don't know if it's more important or equally important or not. I have no idea. But it'll be important at all.
Deja Brew is inextricably linked with the Southside Film Festival.
Absolutely, yeah. We were born there. It's our headquarters. It's our brunch spot on Sundays.
The heart of the festival.
The heart of the festival, yeah. Yeah. Well, we're right here in the Southside Walkable Festival, an actual walkable festival. Although I'm hoping to get some crosswalks put in outside of Deja Brew when they're done with the corners. Hopefully that, if anyone's listening from the city, they can please do that for me. That would be wonderful to slow some traffic down. But yeah, it's and we've always aimed for that walkability. And, you know, our venues with the Cathedral Church, you know, from Comfort Suites to the opening party, we just walk right up the hill. You know, it's a little bit more spread out, and there's parking at all the venues, but we have Touchstone and we have the PBS studios. Okay. So it really is walkable, but there are ample places to park if you want to drive to one of those venues. But we've always tried to make it, you know, a community festival, not just the films. That's why we do our Flash Your Pass program. So anyone with an all-access pass of any type can get discounts at, I think it's 23 different businesses on the south side, which is great. You know, from 10% off of lunch to half off of an eye exam to free cover charge at the fun house to 25% off home-based merchandise. You know, a little bit of everything. And we really try to get all of the community involved in that. It's a way, especially in the summertime when it's a little slower around here and Lehigh's out of session, it's a way to get, you know, we call it sponsorship, but it's not actually here's $1,000 or here's $500. It's everybody's way of participating.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to promote it this way. We're going to promote it out to all of our mailing list and get people to come out, and that translates into money sponsorship. But it's a way to get everybody to participate and to get people into those businesses as well. So as a small business owner for 30-some years, I appreciate that. You know, anything that drives people into your place is a good thing. So.
Well, I was going to say, it's always felt very, for all the breadth and width of the films that are being shown, like such a neighborhood festival in the best possible way.
Yeah.
I would imagine it feels that way for the visiting artists, too. I know they've commented on it.
It definitely does. It does. We don't have a final list yet, but we're expecting at least a dozen this year.
Okay.
I think last year we had close to two dozen. But I think last year there were a lot more locals, so that kind of boosted the number. But, yeah, we've gotten... From the very beginning, we've gotten great feedback from the visiting filmmakers.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's partly how we organize the festival, but it's also, you know, the South Side itself. People love the town. They love what's going on here. They love the businesses. They love the fact that they had a 6-minute short film and people on the street say, hey, you made that short film that was 6 minutes. And they know who they are and they like it. And it's how did they know that? You know, because our shorts blocks are very, very popular because they're just really well done. But yeah, they do find it very welcoming here. And that's what we've aimed to do from day one. You know, we want everybody to feel welcome here. I know that's kind of a passe sentiment to have these days, you know.
No, I was going to say it's interesting given the moment we're living in to have, when I look at the schedule, and I encourage our listeners to go on the Southside Film Festival website and look up the schedule and the list of films, actually, because it's kind of overwhelming in the most exciting way. It's immersion. Mm-hmm. You really kind of, the richness of, just as I kind of read through themes and descriptions, things that felt, a lot of it felt to me very, like the filmmaker, something that popped out to me this year, it seemed, was almost a magical realism, a sense of exploring the world we want or enjoy. Something very powerful about imagination.
Oh, absolutely. You know? Absolutely.
So if you could talk a little more about some of the themes you might have seen emerge this year, some of the blocks, what we see on the on the schedule.
We almost every year have an LGBTQ block.
Right.
Sometimes we have more than one. And it depends on how many films are submitted. We don't actively say, send us LGBTQ. It just happens that way. Yeah. And we, as always, we have an excellent block of shorts there. Although I was told that a couple of years ago that somebody actually filed with the city that they were going to protest us during that block. And they never did. And I was really disappointed that they didn't. I was hoping they would turn out and, you know, people would say, what's going on over there, you know?
It's the best publicity you can get.
Yeah, exactly. But they never did. So we continue to show those films, and I have certainly no qualms about it. But my two favorite blocks this year, and this is not to discount any of the other blocks or any of the features.
Yeah.
We have Doc Block 1. And I'm calling it, in my mind, the quirky documentary block. Every film in that block is an off-the-wall subject, from Demolition Derby to a local collection of velvet paintings.
Right.
To a town that has a giant pencil that they have a festival every year.
Yes.
The town in Oregon where they blew up the whale. Yes. 30 years ago, or whatever it was, you know, everyone is just an absolute gem. It's I think it's one of the best blocks we've ever had. It's really, really good from beginning to end. And then we have what we're calling the women's block. And again, it just kind of happened that way. And there were all these films that we watched on jury, and I said, and they had this theme of, you know, empowering women or women who did accomplish great things in their life. And I said, you know, this would make an excellent block. And you know, the whole time, and again, I really don't mean to get political with this because I'm not, but the whole time I'm watching these films, I'm thinking about diversity, and I'm thinking about equity, and I'm thinking about inclusion, and I know those are bad words now. You know, we're not supposed to think those things or, you know, and I don't understand that, you know, to me they've always been essential things to a community, to a society, and I still believe that they are, you know. And, you know, some of these films are just inspiring with things that these women have done. And one of them that was a little too long to fit in the shorts block is about a woman named Frances Hesselbein, who I had never heard of. And I think it's about a 45-minute documentary.
Okay.
And she was a woman born in Johnstown who reluctantly became a Girl Scout leader and worked her way up to be the CEO of the Girl Scouts. And she revolutionized the whole organization, the whole corporate structure of it. She changed everything. I don't know how many boards she was on, but she was an essential consultant to business leaders throughout the country, Ford Motors. She taught courses at West Point. She was sought out by the top business leaders throughout the country. She lived to be 108.
Wow.
At the end of her life, she was living in Easton, so she would be in New York all week. She would get a car home to Easton on the weekends, and they would pick her up on Monday morning and take her back. Absolutely inspiring film that she just took this organization, and again reluctantly, and said, we're going to change the way we do things here. And she completely revolutionized it and then became this model for business in general. And I was blown away. I had never heard of her, knew nothing about her. And to me, that's the best thing about our festival and other film festivals, is that you can see these films that you will most likely not see anywhere else, other than other festivals. You may catch it online, you know, if you're lucky enough to catch it, you know, on your phone or wherever. But to be able to come and to have the opportunity in a lot of cases to have the filmmakers there to ask about these subjects, that makes it even better. And that's really the magic of the film festival, in my opinion, is that you get to see these wonderful films. You get to learn, you know. God forbid we're actually learning something. You know, we're going to be entertained and learn something, you know, at the same time. You know, what a concept. But and I say that all the time to people. I say it to people on our board. I say, you know, when they say, well, you know, we're just showing movies. You know, it's not that big a deal. And I said, well, I really think, you know, not to overstate things, but what we do is kind of a big deal. If nothing else, we take people for 90 minutes and take their mind off of what's going on in the world. Come sit in the dark with a bunch of your friends and watch these films and be entertained or learn or don't. Just get away from things, you know.
Right.
And, you know, at best, we're making a difference because people see things and become inspired on their own, or see things and say, that's a great idea, I want to try that.
Right.
Or I want to, you know, I want to do something that someone else did like that. I want to do something good for the world. And, you know, again, you know, not to overstate it, I know what we are. We're a film festival. We're entertainment. But I think we do a pretty good service for the community.
When I look through the list of films, I mean, that's not, I don't even think of it as I'm going for entertainment. I think of it as this immersion in learning and inspiration and laughing and voices. It's a conversation. Yeah. It's all these voices that get shut out when it's
Absolutely.
Only big blockbusters from the studio
sure.
kind
sure.
of thing.
I love going to the movies. I
yeah.
love Marvel movies. I love Star yeah. Wars. I go to the blockbusters. I go, you know, whenever I can. I go with my son when I can.
Yeah.
But again, you know, these are films that you're not going to see at the cinema. Another one that I wanted to mention, which has a local angle, it has an Italian title, but the English subtitle is My Place at the Table. And again, it's one of those kind of mid-length documentaries, like 45, 50 minutes or so.
Yeah.
And it's actually about a man named Santo Marabella. And Santo, I don't know when he retired from there, but he taught at Moravian University for many years. And in fact, close to 30 years ago when my wife got her MBA, he was the head of the MBA department. He taught classes, but he organized the whole program. So we had gotten to know him pretty well back then. She was on the student board that helped run things,
okay.
and she got to know pretty well. And it was so funny that my wife works in Reading, and I mentioned something about Reading, something in Reading. And she said, oh, that's near where Santo lives. And I said, oh, my God, we haven't talked about him in years. I haven't heard that name in years. And I swear to you, Kate, within a week to 2 weeks,
oh, no.
the very first film submitted was a documentary about Santo. And I said, look, I'm used to that happening when I say something that's on my phone an hour later.
Right. Right.
Not in real life, you know. And it just, and I said, you're not going to believe this movie. And it's really well done. And it's, you know, it's a very serious topic. He was actually born in Italy. And he was born at a time when single mothers were having their children taken away by the Catholic Church.
Ooh.
When they were born and told that, well, he didn't make it through childbirth, and they were adopted out all over the world. And this happened to, I know it's tens of thousands. I don't know if it's in the millions, but I know it's a lot of kids that this happened to. And he's one of them. And he traces his roots, and he meets, you know, his brother and sister in Italy and goes back over there and, you know, sees whatever family he can see.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's just always had this sense of, do I quite belong here? You know, hence the title, My Place at the Table, you know, and it was always something like kind of nagging at him about it. And, you know, it's a fascinating. And again, we've known him a long time, but
wow.
never knew anything about that, you know. And I said to my wife, you're not going to believe this. You got to watch this film. You got to come and ask Santo questions. You're good at the Q&A. So she's excited to see me because we haven't seen him for so long.
And will he be at the festival?
He's coming to the festival.
Oh,
and I believe the filmmaker is coming. She, I think, is one of the people who run the Reading Film Festival.
Okay.
So we're anxious to talk to her about their experience and what they do in Reading. You know?
Wow.
So, yeah.
You're listening to Lehigh Valley Arts Salon on WDIY 88.1. I'm your host, Kate Scuffo, and tonight we're talking about the 22nd Annual Southside Film Festival, opening on June 10th and running through June 13th. And I'm talking with Festival Board President Jeff Baslavik. We'll be right back after this short break.
WDIY 88.1 offers many choices and real voices. Folk music, from folk classics to the Gaelic traditions of the British Isles, to bluegrass and old-time music of Appalachia, to the modern-day singer-songwriters telling the story of today's world. You'll find it all here on WDIY. Listen and enjoy the wide variety of folk music every weekday evening, 7 to 9 p.m., just after NPR News headlines, and Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. on 88.1 WDIY and streaming at WDIY.org.
Welcome back to Lehigh Valley Arts Salon here on WDIY 88.1, Lehigh Valley's public radio. I'm your host, Kate Scuffle, and I've been talking with Southside Film Festival Board President Jeff Baslavik about the richly eclectic lineup of independent films, filmmakers, events, and celebrations that make up this year's 22nd Anniversary Festival, kicking off with an opening night party that we'll be talking about in a few moments. So we're back, and do you want to start with opening night?
Sure. Yeah, opening night party takes place at Comfort Suites, as it often does, has many times over the years. And then we proceed up the street to the Cathedral Church, to Sarah Hall, the big, beautiful hall inside the church. Really cool venue. We had a filmmaker in from California last year who said, what a great venue this is, you know, because we think, okay, we're in a church, we're
right,
in a firehouse,
yeah.
we're here, and they love it. You know, they said, this is really cool being in here, so. That was fun. But the opening night film is a documentary called A Fork in the Road, and it's about the current way we get our food and how we're going to get our food in the future and the good and the bad of how that works. Features Nick Offerman, who many people really love.
Yes.
He's very cool. So, and we're also, we're kind of collaborating with the food co-op, the Bethlehem Food Co-op on this. So they're going to have a table set up at the party and at the venue. Anybody who is a member owner of the food co-op gets in for half price.
Oh, nice.
$5 ticket. You cannot beat that. You get a party and a movie for $5.
Yeah.
If you're a member. So we hope to see a lot of members there. Come on out and support this film. So we're very excited about that. And speaking of buying tickets, this is the second year that we're selling tickets online. Not individual tickets. They're available at all the venues, also at Deja Brew. Passes are available online,
okay.
The all-access passes. $65 gets you into all films and both parties. If you are a senior or a student, and we're adding this year veterans and active service members, all get in at $50.
Okay.
So it's a discounted rate for all of those categories. So we hope to see a lot of each of those folks out there. And then, of course, our closing night party is at the Gander Room, which is nice for me because I just have to walk across the street and up the stairs. So that's good. They always do a great job for us. That's fun, kind of relaxing. The week's over. We get to just relax and kick back and possibly have an adult beverage. So that's always good.
I was going to mention, too, we've talked a lot about some of the documentaries because they're really interesting. But for folks to realize, there's a really wonderful, truly eclectic. The blocks include everything from drama to documentaries, the late night animation, comedy, as we mentioned, LGBTQ. You'd mentioned a particular animation film you were very taken with.
Yeah, we have an animated film about Juan Manuel Fangio.
Okay.
And he was an Argentinian race car driver in the 50s, Formula One driver. He was a champion 5 times. Anybody who follows the history of Formula One knows the name. And we have an animated film specifically about a race that he, I think it was Grand Prix of Argentina, if I'm not mistaken. Something happened where something broke and the fuel line was right against the car and he burned his leg so badly. We got third-degree burns.
He
kept racing for the entire race. He wouldn't stop. And the animation, we've seen so many animated films over the years and so many different types. I have never seen animation quite like this in my life. It is beautifully done. Beautiful. And it's very exciting the way they do the build-up, and they have these kind of flashbacks to when he was a kid and these sort of like maybe little kind of metaphysical things that may or may not have gone on, which sounds strange but really fit with the film. But, you know, as a Formula One fan and a Fangio fan, and, you know, just to see this animation is stunning. It's so beautiful. And so I highly recommend seeing that film.
I was thinking, again, going through the list of films, whether it's because they're short or offbeat or interesting or new talent, the idea of an independent filmmaker at this moment in our culture for many reasons, not only, well, what they're giving voice to or the space to, it's got to be a tough, with everything kind of consolidating, the drift towards large, central, monopolistic kind of structures.
Yeah.
It strikes me that if I'm an independent filmmaker, something like the Southside Film Festival is oxygen. This is life itself.
Yeah, yeah. It's fun. You know, we see, you know, a lot of the filmmakers that we see are people who teach film. Jen Suek, who teaches at Kutztown, and her partner Steve Abruzzese, they're back this year with a film about the Hindenburg. We've shown probably 7 or 8 of their short films over the years. And, you know, so not only are they making these films, but they're teaching the next generation to make them. And teaching them the right way. I mean, a lot of people get a cell phone and think, I'm a filmmaker.
Right,
well,
right, yeah.
You know, I'd like to think I'm a filmmaker too, but I'm not. You know, just because I have a phone, I'm not, you know. I might have an idea or two, but I don't have the talent to really pull it off, you know. And again, the talent shines through. You know, when we see these films on jury, you know, we look for a good story.
Uh-huh.
You know, are they a good storyteller? You know, and that's true with most arts, you know, all different types.
Yeah.
Is the story that's going to keep you interested and tell you something from A to Z. And I don't think the quality has changed. I don't think, you know, with the technology and everything else and all the different demands, and I don't think the overall quality changed because you have these very talented people out there who, you know, can tell a story and can sift through all that stuff and present it in a way. I hope this doesn't offend anyone, but we didn't make an official rule, but I think we might next year. But we really made a conscious effort to not accept any AI films.
I wanted to ask about that. Yeah.
And this is the first time that we've seen films where they put a note up prior to the film that says, not filmed with generative AI.
Interesting.
And then there are others where it comes up and it's like, oh, you could almost tell right away, you know. And it's, you know, and it's difficult because, you know, there are, again, there can be some very good films done that way. But we want to, I don't know if I want to say it this way, but, you know, it seems that it takes more creativity and talent to do it without AI. And we want to highlight that.
I would think, and this is as a layperson who dabbles in photography, the part of, I would think, in filmmaking, and with a theater background a little bit, the part of the joy when I look at this list, I feel like every film offers me the opportunity to see the world in a way I've never thought about it before, through the prism of someone else's vision, and I almost literally want it to be their eye.
Right.
I want it to be that they saw something I didn't see and give that gift back to me.
Right.
Yeah, and that just feels like that needs to come from something other than
absolutely.
AI.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's funny. We had a gentleman who used to come to the fest every year, and he said, you know, every summer I could travel the world without leaving Bethlehem. And that really stuck
perfect.
With me, you know. And again, you know, and it's I think about it, it's not just so much traveling and seeing other cultures and other worlds, although we were thrilled to add Chile this year as our 108th country. I have to order the flag and put it in the wall at Deja Brew. I get very excited when we get a new country. Other people say, okay. But it's a big deal. But, you know, things like I mentioned, the documentary about the demolition derby.
Right, yes.
And, you know, you watch this thing and you're like, I've never been to a demolition derby in my life. They look like fun. They look great. I've never been to one. And you watch this film and it's like, this is so good, you know? And so it's, you know, he focuses on about maybe 5 or 6 different drivers and just get a little background in each of them, why they're doing it, what they're doing, you know? And, you know, it's just such a great film. And this filmmaker has, this is probably the 5th or 6th film we've shown. Every one of his films is quirky in that way. He had a film about his mom once who feeds all the animals around her house. And it's not just like a squirrel here or a puppy there. It's like everything. He feeds dozens of. And it was a great film. You know, it's like, who would think that this little quirky thing that his mom does would turn into like a great, interesting film?
You know? Well, and that's what intrigues me. That's the art of it. And that's the gift of it to those of us watching. Yes, exactly. And like, all good art and storytelling, we leave and do see the world differently.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, it's fascinating. And you know, and when these people come, they're just the nicest people. They enjoy coming. They enjoy coming to brunch. They enjoy the parties. They you know, we had a couple of people, and I forget what film it was from, and one of the women said, you know, she sings. And I said, well, we didn't know that. And she said, well, if you can grab a mic, she'll sing a song. And this was at the closing party up at the Gander Room. And she sang 2 songs with a microphone. And it was amazing. It was, she was so good.
Well, I was going to say, it's interesting that we think of, in some ways, we think of in our culture, screens are an issue in a different way, you know, being glued to an iPad or a phone and this kind of thing. But on the other hand, the kind of filmmaking we're talking about, which is like, is interpretive, is art, is a vision. It also is its own kind of community, and that strikes me about this festival, too. When I've been around, I'm not a filmmaker. You know, I'm the audience.
Right.
But I can see that not only do the filmmakers have a need and relish the community, but then to have us join in that community with them live as well and continue the conversation of the film, in a sense, and what we're exploring.
You know, again, going back to that quirky block, one of the films is about a town with a giant pencil.
That's right.
It was basically some folks who had a tree in there. It's a very old tree in their yard that was struck by lightning. And when they went to take it down, they realized that the bottom part was straight part. So they carved it and painted it to look like a pencil. And every year they sharpen the pencil and make it a little bit smaller. And the town started this festival around it, which now draws thousands of people. So they look forward. They sell pencil hats and pencil, and they raise, you know, sharpeners and everything. So it's become this great community event. And the other one was about the town in Oregon where the beached whale had died, and they decided the only way to get rid of it is to blow it up with TNT. And I did not remember this, but apparently this was a news clip that went viral before things went viral.
Okay.
Where they used too much dynamite, and this thing went everywhere. So the cameraman and the reporter are back for like I think it's the 30th anniversary maybe. And he said, you know, I've covered thousands of stories. I didn't think I was getting famous for this. But when they come back... there's a whole annual event about this thing. they have this annual event about the year we blew up the whale. And it's amazing, you know. And again, it's just
the human need for ritual.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's just people getting together and celebrating.
And community,
know.
Yes.
Yeah, it's so great, you know.
On that note, sadly, we're out of time. But I cannot encourage our listeners enough to go to the Southside Film Festival. First of all, the website. And explore the wonderful world of film descriptions on the website that will entice you to 3 days that literally are chock full, just jam full of wonderfulness. And again, Jeff, we go online for the passes.
Yep, sssff.org.
Okay. Tickets are available at the venues for the screenings and for the blocks as well. Come join us for a trip around the world for 3 days. Thank you so much for being with us today, Jeff, and thank you so much for the Southside Film Festival.
My pleasure.
And thanks to you, our listeners, for joining us today. I've been your host, Kate Scuffle, and I look forward to visiting with you again in the Lehigh Valley Arts Salon on WDIY 88.1 FM, the Lehigh Valley's public radio. Lehigh Valley Arts Salon is supported by the Dexter F. and Dorothy H. Baker Foundation, who believes lives are enriched through a vibrant and enduring arts community, and invites you to join them in supporting the arts.